Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Oh, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Riley Smith of the Vegas Golden Knights is going to join us later in the hour. Toronto kid doing big things down in Vegas.
You think I should come clean that I went to the dentist today, and that's maybe why I'm like Kramer?
Are you out of it today?
I'm not out of it whatsoever, because they gave me no gas, no freezing or anything.
You went raw?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
It's not by choice. Believe me, I asked, but I'm 46 years old, so I had a cavity years ago that got put in. Like, there's like steel in my, like, they used to do fillings with like steel.
Where, in Russia? I don't think that's a Canadian practice.
It is. If you ask like somebody who's over 40 years old, I think they've got like metal in their mouth or whatever. So I have like a filling that is like somehow it's wedged around, and I cracked the tooth. And it's been a bit sore, so I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
that sounds really painful.
Get this dealt with. I go in today, and the lady's like, yeah, I got to shave it down. I got to do all these things. I'm like, okay, can you give it the needle or give me some gas? No, I prefer to have you feel it so that you can let me know the pain threshold.
Are you serious?
I'm like, well, what are you going to stick a towel in my mouth and just have me, you know, or bite on something? Like, it was ridiculous.
You were in prison, basically.
Yeah, I saw the prison dentist today. With a pair of pliers.
Penal dental rules.
It was, so I was,
I've
I
never
asked
heard
for
of that
a little
before.
Bit, and like, I am a little bit swollen and a little bit, like, big-tongued. That's not why I was choking in the first hour, but.
Yeah, we were worried about you in the first hour.
I don't know what was wrong with it, but I'm fine, but
you're okay.
It's just annoying, like. I think that's what cavities were filled with back in, like, the 80s and stuff.
I mean, listen, man, I don't know. That sounds like it
well,
shouldn't be the case.
Well, your wife is in the dentist business.
I know, like, that, dude, but we don't sit there and talk about, you know, how cavities were filled back in the 80s. I have no idea. But cement doesn't seem like the proper.
No, it was like it's metal. Like, I think it was like silver.
So it's like a crown. Is it? Did he get a crown, or are you talking about a cavity getting filled?
Cavity being filled with like metal.
All right, I'll text my wife, who, just for the record, is in Los Angeles right now.
So the last thing she wants to do is hear from you with a work question.
This is why I'm so rattled about what's going on with the Leafs, like them being down 3-1. So one of her good friends is from LA, and they went to school together, and it's her wedding. It's her wedding today and tomorrow.
Right.
And I was going to go down if it was any other weekend, or if it wasn't during the playoffs for the Maple Leafs and the Raptors, I would have been all over that. I love L.A. Go down there for a couple of days. It would have been great. But I'm like, I can't do it because, you know, the Leafs are in the playoffs. The Raptors are in the playoffs. I can't go right now. Can't have a personal day. I mean, who would do that?
Right.
Who would take a personal day when the Leafs are in the playoffs?
Yeah, who would ever do that?
Nobody would do that.
But jackass would do that.
Nobody in their right mind would do that. So I'm like, okay, I guess I got to stick around. And the Leafs are down 3-1 now, and I think a lot of people are turning on them here and kind of expecting that they're going to lose tomorrow night. But as a result, she's in L.A. I'm solo dad for the weekend.
Right.
Which I've been solo dad for a day and a half. I've never done a four pack,
and it's not, how's it going?
Well, it's been a decent start. I feel for my dad, because my dad's at my house right now watching Everly.
Yes.
And I guess she's not in the best mood and a little bit grumpy, and so he's got to deal with that wrath.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. And tomorrow I'm going to go down to the Marlies game. Actually, I'm going to take her down to Rico.
That'll be fun,
because they're playing Utica, and I'm looking forward to that. So I'm going to be down at the Rico Center, and I'm going to bring her down, and we're going to enjoy that, but
that's always a good fan experience.
Yeah, it's going to be
for
great
families as well too.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So anyway, I'll text my wife and see if she's ever heard of that before. But people are tweeting in.
Saying like it's lead, right?
Well, Jan is saying it's amalgam, which I've heard of before, but that doesn't sound like, it's not metal. But Kyle, this is the problem, okay? The sure. vetting system. I'm going to stop myself right now.
Because you're O-Dog. You're going to be Bob Marley's
exactly.
birthday.
Like, if you missed the previous hour, it's 420 today. We're talking about 420. And
right.
I guess nobody really knows how it was spawned and why this became a significant day for people that smoke weed.
Right.
Or a day of celebration, whatever you want to call it. But I guess, one of his old girlfriends or something like was listening to the show and texted in and said, actually, the reason it's 420, why this day is significant for people that smoke weed, is because today is Bob Marley's birthday.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that is fake news. He's
that
born
is.
In February, and O has no vetting system
no,
whatsoever.
He just read what was ever texted to him, and that's
yeah.
it.
And we on. Accepted that as truth, too, because we were ignorant to it. I don't have a clue when Bob Marley was born.
Right.
And now the same thing's going to happen here. You're spitting out that you have...
I believe
metal
it's like metal as a filling.
Anyway, so
it's not good. It's like lead or metal or something, but either way.
Would you ever be a guy that would pull off a gold tooth?
No. Why would I ever pull off a gold tooth? Like,
I kind of like the idea of a gold tooth.
Okay, who on this panel would have a gold tooth?
Well, we know exactly,
who it would be.
It would be a $250,000 gold tooth
yeah.
with no insurance,
yeah.
and he would hate it after 48 hours and pull it out of his yip and throw it into the sewer system.
No, it'd be in the trunk of his car.
Yes.
Or like in between, you know, in the cup holder. It would be in the cup holder of you know what I mean?
It would be,
like,
yeah.
In between.
You'd get into his car and be like, hey, dude, there's a gold tooth
yeah,
in your
just sitting
cup
there.
Holder.
Oh, I didn't like it. You know what?
Yeah. And I got ripped off. That cost me $250,000.
Exactly.
I hate it.
Yeah, you got talked into it by a buddy or something.
So Jacqueline. Yeah. Jacqueline roped him into it.
Jacqueline was like, hey, get this gold tooth on Bob Marley's birthday.
Yeah, you have to on 420. Anyway, we'll try to get to the bottom of that. Tom Stirner, former assistant Raptors coach, will join us here to tee up Game 3 tonight. Ray joined us in the previous hour. And I don't know who's got more heat on them tomorrow night. If it's Matthews or... Freddie Anderson.
Like, well, it's Freddie, certainly. I mean, I don't know.
Freddie has to be best.
He's got to be
great. But there's a lot of buzz around Matthews and how he has not performed well through four games.
Well, and this market, the expectations. I was getting sent, I don't know if you've seen this, I don't know if it's a picture or a meme or whatever, like Austin's picture on a milk carton. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like,
this is Toronto, though, man. This is the way it goes.
I get it, but also, like, understand that, like, they're not playing a team that got 82 points and snuck into the playoffs. They're playing a team from November on was one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, if not the best team in the National Hockey League, statistically. And they're up against it. That's a very good team over there that... has more of a veteran core, so there is some age, even though they've got a young team, too. Now, I'm not going to absolve them, because Patrick Marleau is not 22 years old. Plekanec is not 22 years old. Tyler Bozak, JVR, like Kadri when Nazem comes back in. Like, this is a team that has some veteran presence. You expect more out of them, but the fact that I think... everyone had talked themselves into it in the back of their mind, like, and it's fair... this was a 50-50 coin flip. They can beat this team. They can beat whoever they face in the next round. Like
But they need their big boys to play
exactly.
like it.
And that's the truth. And that's Austin, and that's Freddie.
Yeah, and I think what's hurt Matthews, and make no mistake, I mean, don't overreact and pretend like this is going to change the scope of his career or his standing in Toronto. He's still the man here. He's going to be the man for a long time. It's four games where he hasn't played that well. He could be better. We know he can be better.
Right.
But what I think has hurt him, in terms of everything you just talked about, I think Mitch Marner has been exceptional through four games.
He's played been their best player.
Best player. I thought he was great again last night. I thought in game three he was outstanding. So Marner's breaking through it. That said, Marner last year took a lot of heat because he didn't have a great first round against Washington.
Right.
Another thing is when you just... focus on the parallels.
Mm-hmm.
Boston's big boys have stepped up and been great.
Correct. Correct.
You know, like Bergeron, when he was healthy, was great. Marchand, Pasternak have been absolutely out of this world productive. And that's kind of what it comes down to. More often than not, in a seven-game series, can you look across the ice and say, I outperform the guy I'm up against? The matchups, exactly. And it's not even about being on the ice with them.
No,
it's just importance to your team. Bergeron is to the Bruins what Matthews is to the Maple Leafs.
And Rask, you go right down.
Like, exactly.
Like,
and Pasternak is Nylander, blah,
but,
blah, blah.
But you're right. Like, on the back end, though, like, who has been, in the first four games, who has been the Leafs' best defenseman? Probably
Morgan Riley was not good. The two games, he was fantastic in game three. And then last night, I thought he was just
but he was
just
all right.
Okay.
Just okay. But look, so do the matchups there. Like, defenseman to defenseman. I Boston's defense, of course, been better than the Leafs.
Yep.
In four games.
Yep.
Rask is winning the battle in net. The top players for the Bruins are outplaying the top players for the Leafs as a group. Individually, you can pluck. Marner's been really good. Pasternak has been brilliant. You know, Krejci, I think, is for me, has been very quiet.
Effective, I think.
He's very solid. Rick Nash hasn't been really on the board, but he's
had
there.
A couple opportunities around the net. Other than that,
but
I thought his first game he played really well. Beyond that, he's just kind of been there. He hasn't killed them.
If they think they're going to go on a long run, he's got to step up. And
yeah,
but it can't be that line every single game.
But here's the thing. I agree with you. Over the course, if you're going to get 16 wins in the spring, it can't be three guys. But what I'm so impressed by with that Bruins top line, and I know it drives Maple Leafs fans nuts to hear it, but you just have to accept it as a fact. Those guys show up every single night.
Yeah.
Like Marchand and Pasternak and Bergeron, last night notwithstanding because Bergeron wasn't playing, every night have been dominant. Like every single night. Now it's only four. You know, they're going to have an off night at some point.
Except game three.
Yeah.
The third period, Pasternak hit, what, two posts?
Yeah. Maybe you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, on the score sheet.
They give themselves every chance to be the dominant line every night.
Exactly.
Sometimes it doesn't go in. Well, not often, but that's what they do.
That's why Pasternak's comments after game three, he was like, yeah, had my chances, didn't go in tonight.
We're good.
Like he was.
And look what happened last night.
But you know, you have to be that driving force and you have to be that effective night in and night out, and they certainly have been.
And now the ball is in the court of Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Freddie Anderson. We'll keep teeing up game five tomorrow night. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Game three, Raptors-Wizards tonight down in Washington. You can also hear right here on TSN 1050. And to tee that game up, we're joined now by our TSN NBA analyst and former Raptors assistant coach. Here's Tom Stoerner. How you doing, Tom?
Guys, how you doing? It's great to have be on the show here.
Yeah, thank you very much for doing this. We're looking forward to game three tonight. For me, I mean, this is it. If the Raptors win tonight, I think they just dummy them in four. I think the Wizards, they just there's something poisonous behind the scenes there. So I feel like the Raptors are going into this thinking, this is the series tonight. If we win tonight, it's over, and it will be over in four. How have you reacted to the first two games, and how does it make you feel about the way tonight will play out?
Well, I think the interesting thing about tonight is Washington will view this game just exactly as you're presenting it, as a do-or-die situation. I think one of the things that happens when teams get into those positions early on, especially, you're going to see an emotional lift with them coming out. They're going to try to come out, and emotionally, the crowd will be into it. The players will be hyped up, and it's how the veterans on the Toronto team weather the storm, so to speak, and be able to not get discombobulated by what happens at the beginning of the game and play the game out, because, again, it's a very, very long game, as we know. So I'm anticipating that. I looked at Bradley Beal's face the other night on television when they had decidedly been out of the game. He looked disappointed. He looked upset. And so I would expect him to come out and try to do something. Wall has been consistent and been playing hard. So, yes, I agree with you. If tonight the Raptors can come and eliminate the Wizards, yeah, it looks very well for them.
You just mentioned Bradley Beal. He came out with some comments today saying his coach apologized to him. It was a bit of a sewer job. I've never really seen, like, it seemed like a confidential conversation where the player coach, and he came with the heat to the media. What do you make of that? I mean, to me, it's beyond a low blow.
Yeah, and finger pointing at this point in time doesn't do anything, you know, for anybody. And you mentioned at the beginning, if that's going on in the background, where all of a sudden they're not unified in terms of how they perceive the locker room, the coaching staff, then all of a sudden that's just a bad situation. I mean, you've got to go into every game, everybody all hands on deck and all rooting for one another, pulling for one another, and no finger pointing, because that certainly will demise any team, whether you're good or bad.
Yeah, I mean, we played the clip earlier. If you haven't heard it, Bradley Beal was chatting at Shootaround this morning, and he said he outed Scott Brooks. He outed him and said Brooks came to him and apologized for not getting him enough touches through the first couple of games. And that speaks volumes to me about what this team has been through down in Washington the previous couple of months, dating back to the John Wall injury, where they all sewered him online and post-game interviews, and John Wall went back at them, and Marcin Gortat was in the middle of it, and we don't even know if he's going to start tonight. I just think Washington, they're loaded with talent, but they feel like a team that is going to be blown up in like a week.
Yeah, and certainly that's a bad situation, and you don't like to see that with any team. Fortunately for the Raptors, like I say, it's not the case, and they are all on the same page. But when you hear comments like that, you got to think like there is an imminent some things that are going to probably happen right after the series is over. But you can't win that way. You know, it's too difficult a game. There's too many things that you have to rely on one another and trust one another. And when you don't do that and you break that down, nothing good can come from that.
With Tom Stirner, former Raptors assistant coach, our TSN NBA analyst, Game 3 tonight, Raptors-Wizards down in Washington. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Again, it sounds as if Gortat, he may start, he may not. His minutes may be reduced. If he ends up out of the game and a non-factor, do you expect Valanciunas to get 20, 25 minutes, which is about all he's getting? Do you think he'll get less? Do you think he'll get more? How do you see Valanciunas playing in tonight?
I don't think the Raptors want to change any of the chemistry or any of the things that are going on, because they're the team that's being successful right now. JD's been effective to start the games. His energy, his running the floor, his defensive presence, gives Kyle and DeMar great guys to throw the ball to on pick and roll situations. The other night, it was really kind of interesting to see Washington go small late in the game. And they actually made a little run for a bit. But the one thing that the Raptors did was answer that run. And DeMar especially answered that run late in the game with 7 straight points. And then it was like a 6 or 7 point game, blew open to 18, and then the game was over. And that's one of the things that in the past Toronto struggled with Washington was just in the fact of that small ball. I know when I was there and Pierce was there, we just had a hard time matching up. Now, with the roster the way it is currently, they can play small ball, and they proved it the other night in Game 2 with an effective run late in the game.
It's also Game 3 tonight in Indiana, Pacers-Cavs. And as we know, the Pacers got a split in Indiana. They almost went home up 2-0. If they find a way to beat LeBron tonight and beat the Cavs tonight, what kind of ripple effect do you think that'll have on the Eastern Conference?
Well, that'll have a huge one, because in a split in the first series, you know, in the first games, anytime you do that, Game 3 becomes the pivotal game. That becomes the one that really stands out. I know you could say the same thing would be true on a 2-0 lead, but in a 1-1 series, Game 3 is the pivotal one. And the fact that LeBron had to put out that much effort, that much energy to get them a 3-point win at home on the second night after Indiana came out so impressively bodes well for the Indiana Pacers. I think they come home, and just like I expect Washington tonight, I think Indiana will have an emotional lift right from the very start. And it'll be interesting to see how well Oladipo can continue to carry. And it will be interesting to see if LeBron goes out with that 20 points again in the first quarter, because that's what they need in order for them to win. Otherwise, I see the Pacers carrying the series.
Thank you, Tom. Enjoy it tonight. We'll do it again soon.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
There's Tom Stirner, former assistant coach of the Raptors and our TSN 1050 Raptors and NBA analyst.
I don't know if we call him a friend of the show, but he's a friend of mine. Yeah. I like that guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah, brings energy,
good, yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's good answers.
I agree. He's fired up. willing to say what's on his mind, too. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. I'll tell you what, that might be more interesting for Raptors fans tonight. I know you're telling me to just relax with the idea of looking past Washington, but the Cavs, like, if they lose tonight, they go down 2-1. I think they'd still be favored to win the series just out of respect to LeBron, but could you imagine if Cleveland went out in the first round?
Yeah.
That's the end of the train right there.
Oh, LeBron will be packing his bags.
Packing ninja dust.
Gone. He'll never go back to Cleveland.
No. I kind of think he might like Fella. Don't you?
That wouldn't shock me. I mean, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, those two are beasts, man.
This guy's got a weird mask going on, though.
I like it. I support it. It's got the
I
broken
would wear
orbital.
It to the bar.
You would wear the Embiid mask?
The Phantom of the Opera mask?
Mm-hmm.
Trust the process.
He had like goggles going there too. Like
he also wore his own jersey to the bar one night.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, this guy is something else.
I like him, man. He's a different dude, but
this guy's dying for Rihanna to reach out to him. Once a week he's like, "Yo, are you single?" It's like, dude.
Shooter's gotta shoot.
Shoot your shot.
What did Gretzky say?
You miss 99% of the shots you don't take.
I think it was 100.
Actually, it was 100.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Rafalski?
Yeah.
Did I say Rafalski?
Somehow you make 1% of the shots
yeah,
you don't
exactly.
take.
That's like a...
That's the
George
dumbest
Bush.
Thing I've ever said on
Remember
the
George
show.
Remember George Bush?
Oh,
fool
dude.
Me, shame me.
That's honestly one of my all-time favorite clips. Can you pull that out of the archives? There's an old saying in Oklahoma. Well, I think it's in Oklahoma. It's, you know, back in Texas anyway. Yeah. Fool me once. Yeah.
Shame on you.
Shame on me.
You know what I mean. Like, just all over the map. It's,
okay, let's come back and hear George Bush just carve up a saying.
Yeah.
You miss 99% of the shots you don't take.
Awesome.
Oh, dog.
So funny.
Socrates, oh, dog.
And Riley, let's get out of here, man. I can't
go.
Do this.
Let's leave. Riley Smith coming up from the Vegas Golden Knights as well. Richard Griffin will join us from the Star in about 40 minutes. We'll tee up game two of the Yankees-Red Sox or Yankees-Blue Jays series. Kind of wish it was the Red Sox. As good as the Jays have been, the Red Sox are off to the hottest start in 31 years.
Yeah, they're on fire.
They don't lose. Like, all they do is win right now, Boston. Like, as good as the Jays have been, Boston...
They're ripping the league apart.
It's been crazy. But the Jays have been rolling. And last night, you know, they had opportunities late in that game, and they ended up losing game one of four down at Yankee Stadium, but game two goes tonight.
I've told you this before. I don't think you would have fun being a Boston radio host.
Why
all
you say
the
that?
Winning and like,
well,
you would have nothing
it.
To beak about. Honestly,
they complain about things.
If you were
all
a lover
time.
Of the Pats, like,
but you know what you do? You hate Roger Goodell and you make a life out of the world hates us because we're so successful.
Really, how many times can you go to the well on that?
Wasn't
you need day to day topics to blow up about, and you wouldn't have any.
No, there was a jackass. Boston radio host that got himself in some hot water not too long ago. Wasn't that a
yeah,
couple
no
months
kidding.
Ago?
He said Roy Halladay deserved what he got for screwing around in his plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about Halladay.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's
I don't
awful.
Think anything happened to that guy. As far as I know, he's still hosting a show.
Oh, actually, they screwed around with Tom Brady, too. They were making fun of his kid.
Yeah, remember he called in and
yeah,
was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah that's...
That was some guy on one of those shows. I don't
yeah.
know.
Listen, it goes man, in Boston, cycles. Let's not forget, Chicago had a junk team with the Hawks, and then they've gone through.
Cubs were brutal.
Like it happens in cycles, and
it does. But generally, one of those teams in those big cities is doing something. You know, I mean,
right?
Look at Boston right now. The Red Sox are 16-2. The Patriots are the Patriots. The Bruins are up 3-1 in the first round and looking great. Boston is rolling in the first round. They're moving on to the second round, even without Kyrie Irving.
Right.
I mean, you got to give credit where it's due. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
They've got a good thing going. All right, do you want to play this George Bush
yes.
clip? This
yes.
is when he was president. I'm pretty sure he was in Oklahoma. I want to say he was in Oklahoma.
I don't believe he was president. I think it was after. Or was he?
I don't know.
You don't
I think
make 99% of the quotes
You don't
while you're
say.
President.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Tennessee.
Fool me, you can't fool me again.
Dude, listen to the pause. You can hear his mind racing. He's like, I'm screwed.
Yeah, drew a blank.
I'm totally screwed. There's a saying in Tennessee. Well, it's back in Texas. I'm sure it's maybe in Tennessee. I'll just presume that. Let's play it one more time before we get to...
What is the actual? Because I'm being a hero.
The actual saying is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
Which can be complicated. I believe I've carved it up in the past as well. But I wasn't in Tennessee campaigning to become the president of the United States.
That's true.
Let's hear it one more time.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. You fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Fool me, you can't get fooled again.
You can't be fooled again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he turns into Roger Daltrey.
Well, he drew a blank.
That
you could
was
actually
bad.
See him thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That was a butchering.
That was really bad. That's the problem with public speaking, man. If you're not comfortable or if you start walking out onto a ledge, you're in big, big trouble if you can't pull yourself back in.
Here's another one of my personal faves.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? What?
That is a motivation. One more time for that one.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? What?
What?
I love the disgust from the guy he's saying that to. What? Who are you?
But then it gets worse after that, doesn't it? Malsy's like, well, he just goes on a tirade and it's
lights
a
that
joke.
Car on fire. It's a...
That's from Tommy Boy.
That is a brilliant movie.
I just assume everybody's seen Tommy Boy.
Well...
It's like a
okay, there's the two behind. One guy hasn't. Tyler Hunt hasn't seen. Have you seen it, Hunt?
Hunt has never seen Tommy Boy?
He's never seen Tommy Boy.
No, I haven't seen Tommy Boy.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
What a loser, man.
28 years old?
Like, well, we got Riley Smith on the line. Are we going to out him? Let's take odds here quickly. Do you think he's seen Tommy Boy?
Absolutely.
He's a veteran.
I'll say yes.
Yes.
Here's Riley Smith from the Vegas Golden Knights. Have you ever seen the movie Tommy Boy?
Yes, I have.
There you go.
Are you lying to us? You got to be telling the truth, right?
I wouldn't lie to you guys.
Okay.
There we go.
It's a great movie, right?
Yeah, it's a good flick.
Okay. That's good to know. We needed to know that. That's why you guys are in the second round, because you guys are familiar with Tommy Boy. I mean, what's it like? You've got all this time off in Vegas. I mean, what's going on down there?
Right now, just enjoying the sunshine, actually. So, no, there's not too many points in your career where you'll get, 7 or 8 days in between series, so making the most of it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, this is a question we've been throwing around ever since the announcement came that Vegas was getting a team. Will it ever become boring for the players that play on the team? Like, will the kind of the lust, everything that Vegas represents for people that fly in for the weekend, is that kind of
different when it's your home?
That's what I'm getting to. I mean, can you take us through that, Riley? Does it still feel like this amazing place with great energy, or have you kind of become immune to what Vegas represents?
I think Vegas represents so much more than just what people think of it being a 2-day town, and I think that's the one unbelievable thing about being able to play in the city is there is so much to do, and there's so much to do other than just the nightlife in that aspect. So it's been a great ride so far. It's a awesome place to be able to play. Our fans have been unbelievable. So, we're just trying to keep this ride going.
At what point did you know personally, or maybe the feeling in the room, where you guys had something special? Was there a big win on the road? Was it early in the season? Like, was there a trigger point where, we'll call it your TSN turning point, where you guys were like, hey, we are a serious team?
I think that's the funny thing about our group, was we never really had that moment. I think we had a motto the whole season, just take it one day at a time and take it one game, and we've kind of just been able to build off that success just in that motto. you know, there's a lot of talent in our locker room, and I think it took probably till halfway through the season for other people to realize and maybe give us some credit. But, you know, it's been a fun ride, and I think we're still just living by that motto, taking it one day at a time.
With Riley Smith of the Vegas Golden Knights, they're off to the second round. They will play San Jose, and as always, we know it, top seed. You're going to have home ice in the second round as well. Your head coach, Gerard Gallant, he's a lock for the Jack Adams. He's winning coach of the year, and a lot has been made of the messages he's been sending to your team ever since you guys were all acquired and when you showed up for day one of camp. What has he been preaching to you, and what has been sticking? I mean, what has been working so well, courtesy of your head coach?
I think one thing he preaches is not to get ahead of yourself. And, you know, that's been a big factor in just how we've played this season. You know, I think everyone expected us to go through a big slide at some point in the season, and that never happened. And I think we did a good job being able to turn the page when we did lose, or, you know, maybe went on a 2 or 3 game skid. But it seemed like we were able to turn the page quickly and get back to our winning ways. It was obviously a huge factor for us to just have such good fans here in Vegas. And I think they supported us unbelievably through everything that's gone on this year. And they make it a tough place to play for other teams.
I have to admit, I thought there was at some point this season where you guys were going to hit a wall of that first-year excitement. And I called a game in Ottawa where you played the Senators, and Maxim Lagacy was playing that night. And then wasn't long after that, you had your fifth-string goaltender in Dylan Ferguson, who was called up on emergency basis from Kamloops. I mean, at some point, are you guys looking around the dressing room and saying, we're rolling through goaltenders here, and we're still finding a way to get points night in and night out? Is it just, is it the coaching? Is it the guys in the room? Or is it just a combination of everything?
I think it's a combination of everything. When we were going through that whole goalie swap thing at the start of the year where, you know, injuries plagued us, it was almost comical, like a revolving door of goalies that were coming in. So we battled through that and were able to find a way to get points and stay afloat. And, you know, once Flower came back in net and he was healthy, he's been unbelievable for us. So and I think everyone saw, you know, what type of goalie he is and how he can perform in a big stage like this, how we did in the first series.
Riley, who's become Mr. Vegas? Who's got all the contacts, the hookups? Who is Mr. Vegas on the Golden Knights besides Gary Lawless?
Is this just out of your curiosity, or
yeah, this is my own personal curiosity?
Yeah, we're gonna have to track that person down. But I mean, yeah, other than Gary Lawless, who is Mr. Vegas?
Well, pretty talkative guy. He's maybe Alex Tuck. You should probably get his phone number, because I think he probably has more contacts in his phone than probably the whole TSN panel over there.
Young, good-looking guy. I would see that.
I love it. I
could see Wild Bill doing some work.
William Karlsson? Yeah, you
Vegas.
Score 43. You're in pretty good shape.
I mean, you're a part of that line. I mean, you guys have been money all year. I mean, at what point did you guys realize, you know, we got something really going here, yourself, Karlsson, Marchessault?
You know, it seemed like we had instant chemistry when we started playing together. I didn't play much with Marchy in Florida, but obviously I could see that there was a lot of talent. You know, he had 30 last year and pretty much led our team in points for the majority of the season this year. Carly was, I think, a little bit of a surprise for everyone, but, you know, he's a hard-working player. I think he probably deserved a nomination for the Selke this year, just how well he played, and almost having, you know, a plus 50 NHL rating as well.
Well, best of luck moving forward into the second round. You guys have been the best story in sports this year. It's been incredible, and we're all watching it. We're all tracking it. So good luck going forward, and thank you for doing this today.
All right, appreciate it.
There's Riley Smith, big Tommy Boy fan.
Well, he gave you the Brian Burke early on.
He was not interested in getting into Tommy Boy, was he?
Is there any more Tommy Boy? Let's hear how he tries to make it right and correct his own statement.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What? I'm failing to make the connection here, son.
No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Wow.
Wow.
Here's the deal. If I want you...
You have derailed.
Shut up, Richard.
You have derailed, Richard.
They're trying to make a sale. Yeah. That's the best part of it. Trying to save not, Callahan.
Not
no,
following
it's
got to
be your butcher.
Yeah. Not following your son.
Sorry, son.
That was awesome. Son hey, is... Riley Smith's, they're having a time
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, they are.
I guarantee a guy like Alex Tuck, a young kid, probably single...
I can't even imagine, to be honest with you. I can't imagine myself. Like, I got myself into enough trouble.
In Carolina.
In Hartford, well, Connecticut.
Hartford and Carolina. Can you imagine if the O-Dog is in Vegas?
Do you know how big these guys are in Vegas, too? Like, they're yeah. the only sports team. Vegas has been begging for a sports team forever. These guys show up, and they light the league on fire. They're playing. They sweep the first round.
Well, it was last month. I flew to Vegas for that one night, the Saturday night. I was talking to some people that night. They were like, Vegas is, or sorry, the Knights are the show in town. There's Copperfield, there's Celine Dion, there's everything.
You wonder what kind of mojo they can continue when the football team gets there.
Yeah, that's true. Or when the team takes a step back. Like, that's
although
true.
The football team is 8 dates, you know?
Yeah, there's 8 home games.
So it shouldn't be that big of a factor.
Well, no, but they're still kicking around.
How big of a factor is the guy with the haircut?
Mark Davis.
Davis.
He's just going to find that there's a P.F. Chang's on the strip.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah.
Of course. I ate at it.
You were in Vegas and you went to P.F. Chang's?
Yes. Yeah.
Late night, probably.
No, for dinner. That was our dinner spot. P.F.
Really?
Chang's on the strip.
No, I'm a Delmonico Steakhouse. There's a Russian place where we put on fur coats and fur hats and went in and drank vodka in like this freezer against minus temperature.
It was, tell you, it was Cheetahs awesome. Is the best peeler joint you can ever go to in Vegas. Bring you buckets of beer on ice. It's the best.
I had a grilled cheese at the Rhino one night. It was pretty good.
Yeah?
I was starving.
Really?
But that's the truth about it is Vegas is a great city.
They'll give you everything you need.
And
I've never been more embarrassed than at a peeler joint one night. We all were like meeting up with the girls that worked there. They were coming back to the hotel for drinks. And I said to my buddies, no offense, but they're not coming. You're the girls that you met, they're not coming back to meet us. I know the girl that I met, she's coming. We're waiting around for drinks. My buddy's girl showed up. Other one shows up.
Nothing for you.
Feathers. Went to bed. Ashamed of myself.
Feathers
from Cheetahs.
I like how you phrase it, girls we met, as if they're not obligated to talk to you when you show up to the peeler.
Exactly. What?
Well, it's a strip joint.
I mean, I know, but we were friendly. We're like, you want to meet up later for drinks? And I got stiffed.
Well.
It happens.
Shooters got to shoot.
You miss 99% of the shots you don't take.
But somehow make 1% of the ones.
Exactly.
I needed that 1%, and I didn't get it.
No.
Came up short.
Richard Griffin in about a half an hour on Game 2 of the Jays-Yankees down in the Bronx. Darren Dreger coming up. Game 5 tonight in Winnipeg. And
yep.
We continue to look back on what happened at the ACC tonight and what to expect in Boston for Game 5 tomorrow night.
I got a hot take for you from my buddy about Vegas. I want you guys to hear it. And we got time for this? He's furious with the Golden Knights and that whole operation.
Why, though?
He thinks you read this, okay? Or you want me to read it?
I think you can read it.
Well, yeah, you can go ahead and read it.
If anyone thinks any NHL owner besides the one in Vegas is happy about the success Vegas is having, shake your head. Bettman gave that franchise far too much to start off, and it's fully backfired. No expansion team should be beating up on elite NHL franchises in their first few years, he says. It's disgraceful, it's embarrassing, and it makes a mockery of successful franchises. The ones that actually make money, not the ones that were either taken over or run by the league, which has never been done in professional sporting league. Blah. Is that not crazy talk?
Well, it's jealousy.
I just told him. I texted him. I said, dude, manage your team better.
Is that a Leaf fan? Is he a diehard Leaf fan?
I think he's a Leaf fan, but I don't think he's a diehard.
But like it's difficult. Like it is. I understand how fans are like, are you kidding me? This team didn't exist.
But the response is manage your team better. Why are you so dumb?
That's 100% true. Like Vegas has done a brilliant job. Give them credit.
Why would it, first and foremost, why would somebody ever post something like that on Facebook?
Well, it's Facebook, man.
I don't know. I don't, like, I barely am on it. I don't know why. Like, I've never.
I got buddies.
This guy goes on rants. He's like his own personal radio show. He has hot takes and he wants them out there.
I got buddies that do that. I don't understand it either. I don't get why you would waste your time with that, but it happens. But listen, man, like I get it. If you're a fan of like the Buffalo Sabres,
right?
Could you imagine watching this? You'd be like, wait a minute,
we've been around forever.
Yeah, and awful for years. Arizona, years. Vegas shows up. They sweep the first round
for fun. They just went into L.A. and swept them for fun.
But the players did that. You know, they well coached. Players played well. That
right.
guy paid a lot of money. The owners didn't have a problem taking the money that the guy paid up front.
And he's right. They were able to get better players, this time around. They were able to dip their foot into a deeper talent pool. And I think there were some mistakes made by general managers dealing with them as well, because you were making these side deals. Don't touch this guy. You know, Washington, all you hear out of Washington is that George McPhee was kind of leaning towards, I'm going to grab Grubauer. So they said, okay, don't grab Grubauer. We'll give you whatever. They make a deal, and Nate Schmidt's the guy. Nate Schmidt is a really good defenseman. And
he's
same
awesome.
Thing. You're
he's
right.
Awesome.
Same thing with Anaheim. You know, here, take Stoner off our hands, and we'll give you a draft pick. But here's Shea Theodore. Shea Theodore is a really good defenseman.
I don't think Vegas even expected this. I mean, let's be honest. I find it hard to believe that on October 1st, George McPhee was like, watch.
Yeah.
Over 100 points, running away with the division. There's no way they thought they'd be this good. Everything's worked out.
Exactly.
It's been magical.
William Karlsson scored 6 goals last year, 43 this year.
Credit where it's due. It's worked out beautifully for them.
It's great.
You know, if you're a Leaf fan, you've got a lot of good things going. I know they're not in the position you want them to be in right now. They're down 3-1. Last night was a really, really difficult game to accept because I thought they played pretty well. They had a couple of big breakdowns, and it cost them.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that it was Marchand that scored the go-ahead goal, the game winner, because he's been a pain in the ass for the whole series and really for years throughout his career. But the series isn't over. I think we've all been making a conscious effort not to pretend as if the season is done. I mean, if they lose tomorrow night, so be it. We'll come in on Monday and we'll recap the season and we'll start looking ahead to the offseason.
Right.
And there are a lot of things that are going to be talked about, and there are a lot of different debates and conversations that will be had. But we'll spend the next hour talking about what has to happen for them to get a win tomorrow night.
They've got a 9.4% chance of winning this series. If they win tomorrow, it grows. That's what you have to focus on. You can't do anything else.
And Kadri's coming back. If Bergeron doesn't play up the middle of the ice, they're in a good spot.
Yep.
Matthews is under the microscope right now based on the way he's played, based on what Babcock said about his game last night. And he came out today and said, I'm calling my shot. We're going to be a lot better tomorrow night. So we'll start looking ahead to game 5.
Didn't call a win, though.
He didn't guarantee a win.
We should probably talk about him not talking, too.
And him not talking to the media last night. Is it a story? Is it not a story? Is it all about nothing?
Right.
We'll get into that to kick off the 6 p.m. hour.
I just thought of something. We could talk about Facebook hot takes in the future. Someone's got a Facebook hot take, screenshot it, send it to Overdrive account, and we'll review it. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll do that. We'll get to the Friday 5
Facebook
pack.
Hot takes.
Ooh. Maybe that'll be our Friday 5 pack. The worst online people. The worst type of online people. Should we do that?
Which glass is filled up first? How about who cares and go to bed?
What was that? What are you talking
about?
You've never seen that? There's like 7 different cups and there's water pouring down a spout. And which cup gets filled up first? I don't care.
Who are you following?
You guys, have you guys seen this?
Facebook. No,
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yeah.
There's a picture of a diagram with these cups that are all lined up, and there's like connecting spouts.
See, if I see that on my Facebook screen, how about you close your computer?
Why don't you go to bed if that's what your Facebook is all about.
What I'm talking about? What about this one? Name a vegetable you didn't like when you were a kid that's not around. It's just
never heard of it.
Shut
up. That was somebody I followed. I would immediately unfollow them. Immediately.
Block and unfollow.
Like I just
a block
name
and unfollow.
A car you liked that wasn't around today. Like it's just
never heard of any of these.
People are. I'm gonna chop my followers to family only.
All right. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.